In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with, I think we're on the third paragraph or fourth paragraph of Volume 20, October 6, 1926, fourth paragraph. And this is where we're going to begin. This is, you know, when you hear about sacred scripture, when Jesus says, I give you these talents, I give you these gifts, and he says, basically, you're going to be responsible for that. Let's just think about this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will. God has given this to us. And he's going to ask, like with all the gifts that he gives, what did you do with this gift, this greatest gift, as he tells Louisa? It's the greatest mission that I can give to humanity, to any human, this gift of this great gift of the divine will. And we're going to be responsible to the Lord when we stand before him. And he's going to say, I gave you the book of heaven. What did you do with it? Where is it in your life? Was it on a shelf? Was it just collecting dust? Or did you really listen to what I said to Louisa and put that into practice, study it and put it into practice? And that's why we're focusing on this book of heaven. It is the gift of gifts. And as you dive into this gift, it becomes more and more life-changing. It completely changes your life. It completely helps you to be a Catholic. It helps you to live the Catholic life. It helps you to understand that what God breathed into the dust at the beginning and created Adam. Adam was in God's image and likeness. And it took 4,000 years of prayer for the Messiah to come to the earth through the Blessed Mother with her fiat mihi. And now 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now is this gift, it's ready to be signed, sealed, and delivered. It's ready to be given to mankind again, this image and likeness of God. And that's what he tells Louisa. He says to Louisa, what I have planned as Lord, as King, as ruler of the universe, I've planned that my children be in my image and likeness. With the fall of Adam, it took 4,000 years for the Messiah to come, and it's been 2,000 years now of being redeemed, entering into basically the ABCs of this universal life, this Catholic life. So what God has done is he's given us now the book of heaven. We're responsible to, I really, as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, embrace this truth of what the Lord wants for humanity in God's image and likeness. We are called to be in his image, his likeness. And when you read the book of heaven, little by little, and this is the great blessing, little by little, step by step, Jesus is helping us overcome even our human inadequacies. The Lord says to Louisa, I'm going to bring you to become my divine masterpiece. In God's reflection, in each one of us is unique and different because of the infinity of God. Each one of us resembles God in our unique manner, and each of us can love God only the way that God's made us. The only way God can be loved perfectly by us is to, basically, as Jesus says, begin to live in his image and likeness. So he says, I'm going to show you, he says, the greatest gift I can give to humanity is that I can show humanity who they are and who I am, Jesus says, what the triune God is all about. And it's, again, and this is the beatific vision where for all eternity, we are going to be in awe of how magnificent God is, how loving, what a great and holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty is. He says this to today. He says, and then Don't you remember, he's talking to Louisa, but he's also talking to us. Don't you remember that when I, Jesus, manifested to you your mission regarding the eternal fiat, I, God, asked of you, Louisa, and now us who are reading the book, the sacrifice of suffering as many deaths for as many creatures as were coming out to daylight. So here Jesus is showing us that when we pray, it's not just for us. You know, when people get in front of the Blessed Sacrament, a lot of people just start screaming at God. When you come into the presence of the Lord, when we genuflect, it's to say, you are my Lord, you're my Savior, my Master, you're my King, you're my all. And I adore you. It's that first thing that we're supposed to do in front of the Lord is adore him. And then to thank him. And then to be contrite. And then to thank him. And then to be supplicating, to petitioning God. So the ACTS is essential. And when you spend an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it should be broken up into four distinct areas. It's to adore him for 15 minutes, to be contrite for 15 minutes. And then we pray in the name of everyone and everything. So you're bringing all of humanity with you in front of the Lord. And in the divine will, Jesus says to Louisa, when you pray, God hears as if all of humanity was praying with your voice. So he says to us, don't you remember when I manifested to you your mission regarding the eternal fiat? I asked of you the sacrifice of suffering as many deaths to yourself for as many creatures that were coming out into the daylight, for as many as had rejected the life of my divine will. So here we are standing in the breach, as Moses stood at the breach for the Israelites. We're standing in the breach for all of humanity. We're bringing all of humanity before the throne of God. The most wonderful thing is the church always says this, if you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all mankind. So Jesus is now magnifying that. He's saying, when we adore him, we adore him for everybody. I want all of humanity to be with me. You're representing all humanity to adore God and to fall in love with God. I want all of humanity. When I'm contrite, when I'm sorry for my sins, I am sorry for all the sins of all humanity. Lord, have mercy on humanity. Lord, forgive humanity as you forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive all of my brothers and sisters. You said on the cross, they do not know what they are doing. If we knew you, Lord, as you reveal yourself to Louisa, we would all be on our knees, adoring you, loving you, praising you, thanking you, blessing you, worshiping you. So what Jesus is showing us is we thank God for all of humanity. You know, thank God for the sacraments, the sacramentals. This is, as Jesus says, our medicine, our medication, if you want to say, to get through the week. Keep holy the Sabbath is the key to having a good holy week. If you could keep holy the Sabbath, you have the strength to get through these next 6 days. And then keeping holy the Sabbath, it's like a booster shot. It's like the medicine. It's to receive the sacraments and sacramentals. It's a great blessing. So he says this, I want you to pray in the name of everyone and everything, all that are not doing the divine will of God, all those humans who have rejected this divine life that I want to give to humanity. Would you take their place? Would you die to your ego and your will in order to begin to live this abundant life for all of humanity, standing in the breach for everyone? So he says, Louisa, my daughter, not doing my will is, which is divine life that creatures reject. Not doing my divine will is divine life that creatures reject. So what he's asking of us is to really begin to learn how to pray the rounds, to embrace all of creation as ours. God breathed into all of this, this fiat lux, let there be light, let there be life, let there be love, this this explosion of life all around us. He says, and the souls that don't want to enter into this are rejecting divine life. So he's saying to us, with the Book of Heaven, through the Book of Heaven, through Louisa, do you want to begin to live that abundant life that I breathed into Adam? Oh, you have been redeemed. Now Jesus says, now is the time to be sanctified. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming, the second Pentecost that's coming. It's going to, Jesus just shows us, it's going to make the first Pentecost look like a drop in the bucket compared to what God is going to bring about, this second Pentecost, this explosion of I love yous to the throne of God, which will drive the evil one away from earth, which will bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, the fulfillment of the only prayer that Jesus gave us, the Our Father. So he says, those that don't do the will of God reject divine life. He says, it's not like the practice of the virtues where they reject gems or precious stones or ornaments or garments that if one does not want them, one can do without. He says, it's not like the saints. It's not like the virtues of the saints. If they don't want a virtue, it's like rejecting a gem or a precious stone or a garment. He says, and they can live without that. It's sad life. It's a difficult life. He says, rejecting my divine will, Jesus says, instead is to reject the means, the way, the how, in order to live this life. It is to, rejecting of the divine will is to destroy the font of life. This, remember Jesus says, the Holy Spirit's going to bring life to overflowing for all of humanity. And Jesus says, this is the greatest evil that can exist, to reject the divine will. That's what Adam did. Adam rejected the divine will. He rejected life. He destroyed the font of life for humanity. And it took the Son of God and the Mother of God to come to earth to redeem. Are they to co-redeem with Jesus? She was on Calvary with him. And he says, this is the greatest evil. This is the original sin. And Jesus says to us, we've got to learn to embrace what God gave to Adam from the beginning. And how do we do this? By going to the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary, that breathed this life into Louisa. He says, by rejecting the divine will, it's the greatest evil. So what he shows us is how to live without living in our human will. Okay, so we use our free will to choose. This is why God gave us free will. What do we want? That's what Adam had. God says, don't eat of the tree of the garden, that one tree in the garden. Don't eat of the fruit of that tree. But all the others you can. So one request of the Lord. This was Adam's test. And Adam said, I don't care what you say. I'm going to eat of that fruit of that tree, whatever that was. And he says, this is the greatest evil. Getting rid of the divine will of God that God wants. He said, I made the human will for God. The human will is with us, but we're not supposed to give it life. God was supposed to reign in us, gazing in our gazing, speaking in our speaking, listening in our listening. He said, I made the human senses for God. God wants us to participate in him, his life reigning in us. You know, so he says, therefore, the one who rejects the divine will does so great an evil and does not deserve to live. On the contrary, Jesus says, the soul that rejects the divine will deserves to die to all the goods of God. So that's why scripture says Jesus came to bring his life, if you want to say, to men of goodwill, of God's will. It's not peace on earth to men of a peace on earth, goodwill toward men. No, it's peace on earth to those who live in God's will. So what God is trying to help us understand is the saintly life, the good life, the holy life for the last 2,000 years since we've been redeemed has prepared us now, hopefully, to begin to embrace this divine life, this time of sanctification, which means going back to where Adam was before the fall, which means that we're going to become again what God breathed into the dust, God's divine masterpiece, man. And so now he's got us saying this to us. He's saying, do you want to be part of my plan, Jesus says, to give honor and glory and praise to the Father as humanity rightly deserves to give to God. God deserves to receive this adoration, this contrition, this thanksgiving, this supplication. He deserves to be recognized as God. That's what Jesus is saying. So he says, the divine will is to allow Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, to reign in us, to give to the Father the love that Jesus gives to the Father, the love that Mary gives to the Father, the perfect love of the new Adam and the new Eve, which they gave to Louisa. And that's what Louisa did. Louisa lived in that new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II says is going to come to the world for all of humanity that survives. Now that surviving is important. That's where we are. It's the final battle, if you want to say. The evil one knows what he has done for 6,000 years is coming to an end. The 7,000th year we're in. As John Paul II said, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. We're very close to that, where time is going to come to an end. Why does time have to come to an end? Because Our Lady of Revelation says, my children belong in eternity, where they belong. She says, to enjoy the beatific vision. That's heaven. She says, the devil and his children will always be trapped in time and space. That's the punishment. Never to be able to enjoy the beatific vision. So the test is given to us now. This battle is going on now. You see it in your families. You see it in our nation. You see it in the church. This war that's going on, that's really, it's all around us. Jesus has asked us to be alive at this time to fight. And he says, this is not a war of blood. It's a war of love. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming is going to, it's the fire from heaven that's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that's going to consume the world in love. The survivors are going to be consumed in ecstasy, the love of God, getting rid of every imperfection, every sin, every human imperfection, to bring us to that divine perfection, the divine masterpiece of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. So we're getting more than what God originally breathed into Adam, because when Adam fell, he did not have Jesus as his Adam. He did not have Mary as his Eve. He says to Louisa, this is what you have, and you cannot fail. That's for us too. God has planned this, and in the divine will, it's all completed. It's all done. St. Thomas Aquinas even says that. He says, if the veil was lifted to see where we are, we would be in the glorified state, in the throne of God, praising God eternally. We're there, but we're still trapped in time and space. When time stops, what will happen at that point, when it comes to an end, then what happens is that's where we begin that enjoyment of the beatific vision. It's what we were called to do from the beginning. Adam walked and talked with God. That's a perennial communion. So God gives us Holy Communion, the sacrament of sacraments, if you want to say, to get us ready for the perennial communion of never to be separated from God. So Jesus says to Louisa, and he says to us, he says, do you not want then to compensate my most holy divine will for all the lives that humanity have cut off from it? all the lives, would you be willing to compensate the divine will for all of humanity that doesn't want to live in the divine will? Would you be willing to do this? Jesus says. Our response is fiat, like Our Lady's response. When Christ, Jesus shows us that when the word of God said, fiat lux, let there be light, the universe began. And then Mary's fiat mihi, the incarnation took place. God became man. And then we could be redeemed. We were redeemed 2,000 years ago with, and now this fiat voluntas tua, this may your kingdom come and reign in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is looking for our yes, our fiat. He says, Luisa, and now to us, do you not want to compensate for my divine will for all of humanity that rejected my divine will? And he says, in order to do this, he says, you must suffer not a pain, but a lack of divine life that is my privation. One of the things that's so essential is Luisa wasn't complaining. The privation, Jesus says, was a martyrdom of martyrdoms. When she couldn't see Jesus, she said to Jesus, I can't live. I can't breathe. My heart doesn't beat. I have no life in me. So he says to Luisa, this suffering that you have to go through is this lack of divine life that you're missing is my privation, is not being able to see me or be with me as God wants. So here, what we see with Luisa, and it started from a very early age, she always wanted to be with Jesus. She spent her time as a child in the church on her knees in front of the Blessed Sacrament. God asks us to do this now. This is part of how to live in the divine will, by spending time with our Eucharistic Lord. If we are spending time with our Eucharistic Lord in his house, what happens at that point is you begin to fall in love with God. Falling in love is to be with the loved one, the beloved. When Jesus tests us, he says, where am I? Who am I to you? He said that to Peter. He said that to the apostles. Who do people say that I am? Oh, they think you're this, 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 and this. He goes, who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to each and every one of us? Who is the Lord God Almighty? And if we say he's my God, okay, do you spend time with him? Do you give up your time to be with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament? Do you give up your time to go to Holy Mass? Do you give up your day, Sunday, to give it back to the Lord so it's his day? That question, who am I to you, Jesus says. How do we respond to that? And then with words, but how about with actions? How do we respond? If we say he is our beloved as he says we are his beloved, do we see him? Do we look at him? Do we fall in love with him? When we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, in front of the monstrance. You know, John Paul II said in the 80s, I don't know the exact year, but he said in the 80s, I want every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. Every parish throughout the world. That was his desire. Why? A new and divine way of holiness is coming to the earth. He knew what Jesus said to Saint Faustina. The final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. So he went all around the world to get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. And why did he do this? To prepare us for divine mercy. So in the year 2000, we began divine mercy, a new and divine way of holiness, of humanity praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Why? Christ is coming. The kingdom is coming. The evil one is going to be departing, and he's going to depart with a huff. He's not going to go away because he thinks he can beat God. He thinks he can destroy God. The kingdom is coming. God is trying to get us ready. This is not a time. This is why everything is falling apart. It's not a time for ourselves. It's a time for the glory of God to be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. So he says to Louisa, and he says to us, basically, we have to fall in love with him. And that means to spend time with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And if an hour is this is what I heard a while back, one of the saints, I think, said it. If an hour is too long for you, it means you have to spend 2 hours. You're not ready. You haven't tamed yourself by being in the presence of God. You haven't tamed yourself to long for him, look for him, desire him. So that's why he gave us the Book of Heaven. When we read the Book of Heaven, we see Louisa longing for God, pleading with God, begging God, you know, where are you? You know, I'm not alive without you, Lord. And that's the beauty of the divine will. Jesus is asking us to love him as the little newborn did. Love him as his mother did. This is why it's so essential that we read and study and put this into practice. So Jesus says, in order to form its kingdom in you, my divine will, Jesus says, wants to find in you all the satisfactions that all humanity have not given to God. In order to form the kingdom in you, remember Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you. He wants to manifest this to all the world. My divine will wants to find in you, Louisa, and in the little children, the holy divine will, all the satisfactions that all humanity has not given to the divine will. What does that mean? Instead of complaining about your neighbors, your family, your friends, you know, being negative, it's to say, Lord, have mercy on me and all of my friends, all of my family, all of humanity, past, present, and future. So Jesus says he needs all of humanity, all of the lives of humanity. The divine will was to make a rise in them. So God is asking us to pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that everyone can enter into the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. He says, otherwise it would be a kingdom without a foundation, without giving its the rights of divine justice, and without due reparations. So Jesus is saying to Louisa and to us, I want you to begin to live in the divine will in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. So as you pray, God will hear all of humanity praying with your voice, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him, blessing him and worshiping him. This is going to be our job. This is what God has asked of us, to begin to live this abundant life. This is something that he's planned this. He predestined us to live at this time, so that he could give to us this gift of gifts in the name of everyone and everything, so that everything will be repaired. Everything will be redone in his most holy divine will. That's what God is waiting for in us. Are we repairing? Are we redoing? Are we complaining? Are we being negative? Are we continuing to live in our human will? Or have we surrendered our human will by using our free will to choose to live in the divine will? It's a choice. Here's your free will, the divine will. Here's your free will, your human will. You can continue to be miserable. You can continue to complain and be negative, sinning, or you can say, that's not my life anymore. I'm choosing the divine will. And God goes, good, good choice. Then he's going to say, how are you going to do it? And that's why we have the Book of Heaven. The Book of Heaven teaches us how and why God is going to do this with us. He didn't give it to the saints. Why? It wasn't time to give to the saints. God has given it to us. And he's expecting, like I said, at the end of time, when we stand before the Lord, he's going to say, I gave you the Book of Heaven. I gave you the why and the how the kingdom was coming. What did you do with it? What did you do? Did you learn from Louisa? Did you study this? Did you put this into practice? Is this part of the life of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, that I want you to begin to live? It's a duty and responsibility. When God gives us something, it's a duty and responsibility that we have to do before God. It's an office that he tells Louisa that he gives you. And he says, I could not give any human a greater office than this, to live the divine will in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that the kingdom can be established on earth as it is in heaven. Volume 20, November 2nd, 1926. So what will not be my contentment in seeing that in the kingdom of my most holy divine will, everything that I, Jesus, did will serve no longer as food for the sick, this is the medicine, but as food for the children of my kingdom. So what's happening, this new and divine way of holiness is very close. And he says, right now we receive the Eucharist, and Jesus teaches us that until the host dissolves, we are in communion with God. And Jesus says, what divine contentment I am going to have when my kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven, fully. He says that everything I did will no longer serve as food for the sick, because illness will be gone. It will be food for the children of my kingdom. That's why he says the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children, the holy divine will. This is the third purification. Who survived the first purification? Noah and his family, 8 people. Why? The whole world was infected. The whole world was away from God. Now Jesus says, I mean, Our Lady, I think, has even said in some of her apparitions that we are living in worse times than it was during the flood. Everything's being legalized to do. Sin is being legalized. And our job is to, again, keep holy the Sabbath so that we can live this Catholic life and survive this third chastisement that's coming. That the chastisement is fire from heaven. And it's going to be, as Our Lady said, good for some, bad for most. How can something be good and bad at the same time? Well, if you're in love with God, that fire, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, that's going to consume the world in love, that fire will bring ecstasy, like Teresa of Avila, like St. Catherine of Siena. The images that we see of them being consumed in love, these arrows of love entering into their hearts. Everything Jesus says that he did when the kingdom of the divine will is to go, not going to be medicine for the sick, but it's going to be the first bread of the children of my divine will, who will be all full of vigor and in perfect health. When the evil one flees, when the evil one leaves the earth, because he's been banished from heaven, when the heaven comes to earth, when the kingdom of God is on earth as it is in heaven, what happens at that point? No more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sickness, no more death. You see what's coming? The kingdom is coming. And God has allowed us to be alive at this time. We're going to witness what all the saints wanted to witness, this new and divine way of holiness coming upon the earth. He says, and everyone will be full of vigor and in perfect health. Even more, he says, by possessing my divine will, the little children of the holy divine will possess my permanent life within them. Permanent life of Jesus. Permanent life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Just as the blessed in heaven possess it. Now think about it. In heaven, There's only two bodies. Everybody else is spirits. There's two bodies. Jesus and Mary ascended, assumed into heaven. What is coming is this life of Jesus and Mary is going to come on earth as it is in heaven. He says, so my divine will shall be the veil that will hide my divine life in each human being who survives. My divine will is going to be the veil that covers the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve that's coming to earth as it is in heaven. And just as the blessed, the saints in heaven, possess me within themselves as their own life, because true happiness has its origin inside the soul, Jesus says, so the happiness that they receive continuously from the divinity holds hands and exchanges the kiss with the happiness that they possess inside. And this is why they are fully happy. See, God is happy. See, so Jesus says to us through Louisa, if you're not peaceful, if you're not joyful, if you're not happy, he says, I can't be there. That's not my life. He says, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you're anticipating hell. That's not my life. But if you're peaceful, if you're joyful, if you're happy, Jesus says, he says, you possess my life. You are anticipating heaven. So what is Jesus asking of us? He's asking us in this time of darkness that we're in to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. How do we do this? He's given us the book of heaven. That's why the children of the divine will, this is the thing that's so amazing about them. Those who are really striving to live in the divine will are happy, are peaceful, are joyful. They're not negative. They're not worried, fearful, anxious, complaining. That's not part of their life. They've learned to say no. They've used their free will to choose, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to live like this. I want to live like Jesus. I want to live like Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. That's what I choose. And Jesus says, these are the ones, this kiss between heaven and earth, this kiss between God and man, that's why he calls heaven the wedding feast. You know, we're going to be one with God as God originally planned from the beginning in his image and likeness. So he says, in the same way, being fully happy, the soul who possesses my most holy divine will shall have my perennial life within the soul that will serve the soul as continuous food, not just once a day, like the food of my sacramental life. Jesus says, the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. He said, in fact, my divine will shall make a greater display. See, something magnificent is coming. We haven't seen it yet. We're going to see it. Nor will it be content if giving it just itself once a day. It will give itself continuously, Jesus says, because it knows that these souls have pure palates. These souls have strong stomachs. These souls are able to enjoy and digest in every moment the divine strength, the divine light of the divine life. And that he says, and the sacraments, see, we haven't seen anything yet. Jesus says, wait till you see the power of the Holy Eucharist when the divine will reigns on earth as it is in heaven. You receive Holy Communion to be like God, not to be God, but to be in God's image and likeness. So he says, wait, and the sacraments, he says, my sacramental life, he said, will serve as food, as delight, as a new divine happiness for the life of the supreme fiat that these souls will possess. Possess. See, and the saints learned how to know, love, and serve God. Jesus says the children of the divine will know, love, and possess God. It's good. He says the vast difference between the saints and the children of the divine will, he says, are the children in the divine will. He says they're the children of God. The house of God is theirs. The saints were like servants of God, you know, doing the will of God. But the children of the divine will are going to live the life of the Father, receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. What does he say? It's a new happiness for the life of the supreme fiat, which these little children will possess. That's why he says they're the ones that are going to survive this chastisement that's coming. When people say to me, you know, doom and gloom, what are we going to do? Where are we going to hide? What cave are we going to go in? I'm going, Jesus never mentions any of that to Louisa. He says there's going to be a war and there's going to be a final battle, basically. God's going to win and his children are going to survive. That's what Jesus says to Louisa. If there, it's coming, but it's nothing to be afraid of. If you are in love with God, it will be ecstasy. It's going to be a bumpy road, but look at the statue of St. Teresa of Avila in the ecstasy of love. Look at the statue of St. What's her name? Catherine of Siena. You can in the ecstasy of love. This is what's coming. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, but it's nothing to be afraid of. If you love God, if you're in the state of grace, if confession is part of your life, if you've really made a general confession, gone through your whole life, if you really are ready, it's going to be tough, but it's going to be ecstasy for those who want this new happiness, this life of the supreme fiat, which God wants them to possess. So Jesus says, the kingdom of my divine will shall be the true echo of the celestial fatherland. What's in heaven is going to be on earth. What's on earth is going to be in heaven. Jesus says, I want the same possession, because the devil is going to be gone. He says, the divine will is the true echo of the celestial fatherland, in which while the blessed in heaven, the saints in heaven, possess their God as their own life, they receive him into themselves also from the outside. So inside and outside of themselves, divine life they possess, the divine life they receive. That's transmutation. Our inside, our outside is going to be transformed completely, transmuted completely. See, he's saying, get ready for what I'm going to do on earth. So he says this, what will not be the happiness in giving myself sacramentally to the children of the divine will, the children of the eternal fiat, in finding my own divine life in them? What happiness God's going to have? What happiness are the children going to receive? He says, wait till you see the power of the Holy Eucharist when the divine will reigns on earth as it is in heaven. He says, then will my sacramental life have its complete fruit. He says, as the species, as the bread and wine are consumed, I, God, will no longer have the sorrow of leaving my children without the food of my continuous life. Because he says, my divine will, more than sacramental accidents, will maintain its divine life always with its full possession in each and every one of my children. What's coming, no eye has seen, no ear has heard. That's why John Paul II said, get ready for this new and divine way of holiness at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. Quoting St. Honorable de Francia, this new and divine way of holiness is coming to the earth, and the Lord is asking us, are you ready? Have you read and studied? Have you put this into practice? Are you ready to enter into this life? It's close. It's very, very close. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. That era is coming to an end. That's what Our Lady tells Bruno in 1947. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that Jesus will give us that invincible strength of his holy anointing that he gave to Louisa, that we'll be able to live in the divine will and avoid and never live in our human will again. We pray this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.